We're here at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting's Trade Talk, and I'm with the National Farmers Union and Chandler Gould. And Chandler, we're going to hit on several issues that NFU is concerned about. We'll just take them one at a time. And first of all, let's talk about cool. At this point in time where the country of origin labeling is concerned, we got a negative ruling from the WTO on this, and some people saying just, you know, they want Congress to get rid of it. What is NFU's stance on?
Well, actually, you know, NFU looks at it as each time we get a ruling back from the appeals court, we get a more narrow and narrow decision of really what the problem is. So the opponents are saying, yes, this is a negative ruling, but when you really read it, it narrowed the scope. So the U.S. is taking the steps in the right direction to become compliant. And this scare tactic of Congress must act now, that the Canadians and the National Cattlemen's Beef Association are putting out there is simply false and unwarranted. I mean, if everything went perfect at the WTO, I know perfect and WTO really don't belong in the same sentence. I mean, we're looking at the end of 2015 before anything can happen. The USTR still got another appeals process available to it, which NFU is encouraging. And then there's still, let's say that didn't go well. Then you still have a retaliation panel. You can appeal that. Then you have to. Then you can come back and arbitrate what the retaliation is going to be. I mean, we are looking at the end of next year, and really what you're seeing is, since the cool law has now won four times here in the United States, you're seeing that those people who want to deny consumers the information of where their food comes from, they see one stab left, and it's to try to do a scare tactic on Congress, which is just not needed, as I've outlined in the timeline.
So basically, you would like to see us appeal the decision and work to change within the regulatory structure the things that are a problem.
Well, yes, I would. I'd like for us to appeal it. I don't know that there's a lot more to change in the regulatory structure, but I do think there's some other aspects that can be brought into the case. You know, when you read through the case, let's think about what was happening to us in 2007 before the law was even put in place. We were heading into one of the worst recessions in the United States and the entire world. Then let's jump up to 2008, 2009 when the law was implemented. It was one of the first times in history that the Canadian dollar was actually worth more than the U.S. dollar. Our energy prices were skyrocketing. The first thing consumers do when we get into a recession is they stop buying meat. They buy less. We import less. And not just meat, but of everything. So for them to say that country of origin labeling on September 30th of 2009 caused all these problems is simply not true. And so we need to take all those aspects and work through that. And I think we'll be able to narrow that scope even further to the point where Canada won't be able to retaliate against us.
I know we've got a lot of issues, but Chandler, one of the things that just came out is regarding the beef checkoff. We're talking, you know, we need more dollars because the beef cow herd has dropped, and the stakeholders in this have not been able to come up with a good resolution. So our Secretary of Agriculture has said, okay, fine, we'll just have a second checkoff. What does NFU think about that?
Well, so NFU has been very clear with the Secretary that we definitely appreciate the opportunity to write a new checkoff. I mean, here's what I've been saying to people. If you're raising cattle in 1985 when this checkoff was written, and you're still raising cattle the same way in 2014, we need to have a conversation. I have a degree in animal science from Texas A&M. We need to have a little talk. And we also need to have a talk about why this program, the 85 Act, is so prescriptive. It says who can be on the board, who can be on the Beef Operating Committee, gives half the seats to the Federation. So right there, the Federation plus one vote, NCBA controls the checkoff. If we would move the 96 Act, it would be more flexible. It would be more cow-calf producer friendly. The feedlot guys would have less control, because you have to remember, one person who owns a feedlot should not be controlling the entire the checkoff. And I'm not saying they control all of it, but they have more than a significant impact of what they really should have. This should be a cow-calf producer program. It would be flexible. Consumer supply and demand has changed. Our production system has changed in the way we produce cattle, and the 85 Act simply allows for none of that to be changed, and that's why it's so important that we move to this 96 Act. We've also been very clear with the Secretary that we will do everything we can to help write a good checkoff, but we can only have one checkoff running at the same time.
So you would just rather see things change rather than having a second checkoff?
Most definitely. I mean, you know, selling two checkoffs in the countryside, they're going to see that as an increase. And so many people are unhappy with the checkoff. Why would they want to see an increase and have another program on top of it? But what you do here in the countryside is we want to see reform, and that's what NFU is working for. That's why we left the Beef Working Group. We were simply being walked in a circle by organizations who don't want to see change because they're afraid they're going to lose money.
So how is this going to address the need for more dollars, though?
Well, you know, if we get the second checkoff propped up, and I think once producers have an opportunity to look at this checkoff under the 96 is more flexible. It's got more cow-calf producers on it. It's more manageable. We have the cap taken off. You can contract with anyone, not just NGOs, so there's more players. You know, competition makes everything better. It makes the quality of the product better. It makes the price better. And at that point, we'll be able to look at a referendum or going to Congress, getting rid of the 85 Act and moving with the 96 Act. That way we have one generic act that is more of a cow-calf producer, more transparent, more flexible.
All right, very good. Well, let's move on from let's go from livestock to ethanol. Okay, the renewable fuel standard. We're still waiting on the volume obligations under the RFS for this year, which is almost over. When they're supposed to send out the volume obligations for next year. So, what do you think about that? And what is NFU's stance on RFS?
We have been very clear and spoken to Administrator McCarthy directly at least three or four times. She actually came and addressed our fly-in. The RFS is a win. It is a winner for our farmers. It is a winner for clean energy. It is a winner for decreasing our dependency on foreign oil. You just saw this week the president signing an agreement with China to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions. The RFS does this as well. Why the EPA is holding this up, why they put out lower volume numbers that we had to all come back and comment on is beyond me. This was actually an opportunity for the EPA to come out and say, you know, family farmers, we hear you. You're impacted by this. You actually benefit from this. The whole country and world benefits from this due to lower greenhouse gas emissions. I find it concerning that it did not come out before the election. I would think that as a Democrat administration, if the news is going to be really good, they would have put it out before November 4th. They did not. We heard it was going to be out last Friday. I feel now I'm playing the Wheel of Fortune, and we'll just spin the big wheel and see what date comes up, because I don't know when it's going to come out, because I think we've missed several opportunities to show rural America that the EPA wants to help them with the RFS.
Well, speaking of the EPA and helping rural America, the proposed Waters of the United States rule has caused a lot of heartburn around the countryside, and comment period ends, what, Monday on that? And so what are NFU's comments to EPA about Otis?
Well, the first thing we told the EPA is that their initial rule was very vague, it was confusing, and I actually think they caused a lot more problems for themselves and shot themselves in the foot before they actually could even get the rule out the gate for comment and notice. And that's what's so important here. We were very clear that define neighboring. Are we neighboring now? Am I neighboring that aisle over there? Am I in Texas, where I'm from? A neighbor's 50 miles away. I mean, what is a tributary? What is a ditch? What is a significant nexus? Yes. What is a significant nexus? And I have to be honest, I had to learn that. I was like, I don't really know. I think that's when two lines cross. No. And so NFU has already filed its comments. We have defined all of those things very specifically, keeping our family farmers in mind to make sure that we do not increase the burden on them, but that also we all want clean water. I mean, nobody is saying let's pollute the water, but how do we do this and bring certainty and clarity? And the first rule did not do that, and we're hoping the EPA will look at NFU's comments where we've defined these things, keeping family agriculture in mind.
With the midterm elections over, we have a lame duck session now. Congress is back in Washington. What does NFU hope that this limping duck gets accomplished before the end of the year?
This limping duck. Someone needs to call Aflac for this duck, because I think it needs some help. We were hearing earlier before the election that they were going to do an omnibus. Heaven forbid the Congress, actually pass appropriation bills. Now that's been downgraded to a CR. that we heard earlier this week. I think there was some discussion of possible tax extenders, production tax credit, Section 179 on depreciation on farm equipment. Now I'm really starting to even think I don't know if we can do that. I honestly see, and I'm reading tea leaves today, ask me tomorrow, it could be a different story. I'm seeing a CR pushes us into next year. They're doing leadership elections right now. That'll close out the November session. Then they're going to come back in December. And I think, you know, you could do some low-lying fruit, but I have a feeling they are going to pass a bill, close up shop, and come back and regroup.
Have Christmas parties.
And have Christmas parties.
Okay, well, then let's look ahead to the next Congress, change in leadership in the Senate. What do you think that means as you read your tea leaves?
Well, you know, agriculture and NFU's priorities, we're very fortunate. They've always had bipartisan support, and they've also always been bicameral. We had a letter of 36 senators supporting COOL, 3 weeks ago, bipartisan. RFS is bipartisan. And, of course, the biggest accomplishment being the 2014 Farm Bill. Passed the Senate twice and the House, and then finally came together to be signed into law. So, you know, I think agriculture will still be in a good position. I was very pleased to hear Senator Roberts say that he would not be opening up the Farm Bill. And, you know, this is an opportunity for the new chair of the House Ag Committee, whenever that is determined, Senator Roberts, and for the administration to move forward in making sure we implement this farm bill for our family farmers and ranchers in a way that's not overly burdensome and truly helps them in the measures and the way that we wanted it to.
Speaking of the farm bill, one of the biggest changes in the farm bill was the dairy program, which is just now basically being rolled out. Tell me about what you think about that.
Well, NFU came out, and we have always supported the MILC program, which has been phased out. And, you know, that's predominantly supported in the Northeast and the Upper Midwest. But if you look at this farm bill, a lot of it went towards insurance-type safety nets, or I guess safety nets not the right word, but risk management type of management tools. And, you know, we're pretty pleased to see that there was a what we call kind of a family dairy provision in there, where your first 4 million pounds, you get a lower premium. You know, the average herd size right now in the United States is about 154 cows, so that really hits New England and the Minnesota and the upper Great Plains. And, you know, moving out west, that'll still allow for expansion. And if you did support stabilization, we think that would have helped keep the volatility out of the milk price. And I think right now we're not seeing the sign up that we want, because milk's 27-something, 27-13, 100 weight. And we also know milk is cyclical. That milk price starts heading back towards $16, and I think you're going to start seeing people sign up. You can sign up once a year, so it's not like the other programs where it's just the one time for the whole 5 years. So, I mean, I definitely think it can work, but it is going to take producer participation. And everybody needs to sit down and read through it. It's a very different program from the last two farm bills. And so overall, we're pleased with the revenue insurance. We wish stabilization was there, but we'll work with what we have.
Well, we're at NAFB Trade Talk, so let's talk trade. But obviously, we're not going to probably get TPA at this point with Congress, but we have these pending negotiations, TPP in particular. So what would you like to see happen as far as trade negotiations are concerned?
Well, you know, the National Farmers Union has had a concern with TPP, and especially back when Japan and Canada were asked to join, we wrote a letter to the Secretary asking that they not join. I think there's some people now wishing that would have happened and would have listened to Farmers Union with some of the negotiations, especially in the Japanese part of the negotiating. I agree TPA is going to be difficult, but I think this is something that having a Republican House and a Republican Senate, something the president can get done and worked on, is a trade agreement. I don't think TTIP, the European agreement, is going to take off at all until TPP is done. National Farmers Union, though, we have come out in opposition to TPP at our last convention. Of course, we are a grassroots organization. Our next convention will be March 14th through the 17th in Wichita, Kansas, so back here. And, you know, our position may change, but right now, at the rate we're going with the free trade model, a race to the bottom, that has never been our model. We believe in fair trade, and so we're going to look to see what happens, and then I'm going to guess we'll move from there to the TTIP European agreement.
All right. Oh, Chandler, I'm out of topics. Anything else you'd like to add?
Well, yes, there's one thing I would like to add back on trade. You know, NFU agrees that agriculture has been the bright spot in trade. We've always had a surplus surplus since the 60s, I believe. But when you take ag, in with all other trade, the United States runs about a $40.5 billion deficit. We got that from the U.S. Census Bureau. That puts a 3% drag on our economy. Now, imagine if we didn't have a 3% drag on our economy because we didn't have this trade deficit, how much better off everyone would be doing. And so when we talk about these free trade agreements, ag does always do well, but it's not just ag that we need to look at. And that's one of the differences, I think, that sets NFU apart from the other organizations. We don't just look at agriculture. We look at quality of life. We look at health care. We look at food safety, health, environment. Are we going to raise the quality of life of the people in the other country? And I think that's why you see a different point of view. We take a much more holistic approach when it comes to trade. But that 3% drag, I think all of us would like to see a 3% increase in our 401ks and our salaries and just the overall GDP of the country.
Excellent. Chandler, a pleasure talking to you here at the NAFB Trade Talk in Kansas City. I am Cindy Zimmerman.